from executive producer Jimmy Kimmel.
What's up, team? Just two people can't launch a brand. It takes a village.
We are MMD Hollywood.
Wowee.
Which stands for medical marijuana.
Due to restrictions, we can't tell you everything about our new reality series. But what we can say is the idea behind it is fully baked.
I don't know.
High hopes. Streaming 420 on Hulu.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Welcome back in. A little Stern and Show. Y'all should be out there in your shorts and t-shirts. Feeling good. Flip-flops if you want to.
Man, look here. I got my Rocket shirt on, my Clutch shirt. Running game. Got me some shorts on today. Is it February 28th, 2020 in H-Town, and it's in low top J's and shorts weather, baby. Come on.
That's beautiful, man. You can't do nothing but have fun.
Be thankful. I know there's a lot of y'all out there that got problems in this world. I can tell by this text line over here. There's a lot of y'all, man, Man, y'all got
some troubled souls.
Look, y'all got
there.
Some hard times in bubble gum, and you just chewed your last piece. I get it. I get it, man. But
that's the first time I ever heard that.
No, yeah, man.
Write that down.
Well, look here. Write that thing down, because this text line will make you believe in it, man. Do you actually believe the BS you be saying about the Texans and the Rockets? In reality, neither team hasn't done and until they actually win a championship, stop spreading the BS propaganda that you talk about every day.
All right. All right, sir.
Show said.
Or ma'am, show whatever. Said.
All right.
Hey, I'm out of here. I'm out of here just spread love, man. Once again, John and Spring. I want to know, man. Did you have a big night, man? And you too, sir. You need to get some ass. Let's just be honest. The way you are carrying it.
Yeah, you ain't talking about John. You wasn't talking about John.
No, I'm going to talk about John. Talk about this gentleman right here.
Yeah.
Who'd have just come on, man. Go ahead and have you a big night.
Oh, John done came back. John done came back and said he's doing well. Thank you, fellas. He's doing well. He said he did well. He's good. John's good to go. He's a listener. He's real quick to get back at you now.
There you go. I hear you. I appreciate you, John. I appreciate that gentleman, too. We just maybe have different opinions.
Hey, by the way, that was J.R. Ryder. J.R. Ryder and Kevin Garnett were talking about Jordan. J.R. Ryder was the old wise one going, hey, man, hey, don't mess with Jordan.
Well, remember, they called him Baby Jordan when he at first came. He was one of the thoughts to be Baby Jordan. He knew. Yeah, man, chill that out.
Hey, please find that audio show. That was classic, man. I'm a big Garnett fan. I love Garnett, so it's good, man.
Yeah, big ticket. How can you not love him? All right, man. I know you were watching the quarterbacks and receivers yesterday. This is and we'll hear from the general John McClain coming up here in a little bit later on in this hour. He has been a huge proponent of the Texans need to get a wide receiver. The Texans need to get a wide receiver. Kenny Stills is in his final year, and Will Fuller in his final year, and just even with the health concerns of Will Fuller. And everything I have heard is that this is the best draft in 15, 20 years when it comes to receivers. I know who I love at the top, right? I am a huge CeeDee Lamb guy. I probably watched about every one of the games he's played the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
He to me, and I saw. I've seen some rankings. It's been really him and Jerry Jeudy, but I've seen him recently being on the top of the list, and that person agreed with me, so he's right. But I love me some CeeDee Lamb. He to me is a special playmaker, and his ability to catch the ball and make plays afterwards, what he could do with screens, what he could do with short passes, that means your quarterback doesn't have to be amazing. I love what CeeDee Lamb brings to the table.
I don't dislike CeeDee Lamb. Anybody that tells you that they do dislike CeeDee Lamb, you need to tell them to jump in the deepest lake in Texas with a cinder block tied around their ankle because they've lost it, okay? There is.
That's him. I want everyone to live. I just want to separate myself from that. I want you all to live.
Oh, you worried about the wrong thing. I just meant that they were crazy, man. That's all. That ain't no big deal. Look, I like CeeDee Lamb. I really do. I wonder this, though. And here's how I want to couch this thing, man, is I don't dislike any of these guys at the top. I mean, they're really, really good players. But CeeDee Lamb, when I look at him, he's nasty. He can go up. He can climb the ladder. He can make he is no doubt about it going to be a red zone threat. And he's going to be a playmaker, okay? And I say playmaker very monotone. Like, I don't want to go screaming it, okay? I wonder if CeeDee Lamb's playmaking ability will translate from the Big 12 to the NFL in a way to where he's as effective as he was in college in the league. I wonder that. I'm not saying it's not. I just wonder if a lot of that run after catch, because, man, when I watched him play, it's hard to not, greatly appreciate the athletic ability. But when you look at it, you go, man, is that going to happen at that level versus NFL caliber defenses? I just don't know. I'm not convinced. I'm not convinced, Joe.
It's not a bad thought. I would come with this counter to you, Clint. The two worst things in the last 10 to 15 years in football have been offensive line play, just because the ability to hit has been different. You cannot – they only got 14 padded practices in the NFL.
Sure.
And tackling. Those are the two worst things, right? I think there were times before, maybe 15 years ago, you could say, oh, if this guy was a good – person after the catch, breaking tackles in college, that's not going to really translate in the NFL. Man, I think the ability to tackle has really gone down in the NFL at every level of football. So that's why I pushed to where I'd say I think that's a skill that's not going to diminish as much because no one is really great at tackling. Now look at some of these guys. There's a lot more Marcus Peters rolling around than there are, the best Rondé Barber or Rod Woodson, who were corners that I could think could really get down and tackle. So that skill is not something that I don't think will be a big, because that's his number one skill. That skill won't be a big difference. And he's really good in the kicking game, too. He's scary as hell returning punts. So that's why I get where you're saying on that. Will that translate from the Big 12 against Texas Tech, Baylor, and God, if you watch him against Kansas, no chance. But I think tackling is so bad across the board in football, I think he's got a chance to keep that skill up.
Yeah, he's definitely got a chance. When I watch, tell me this, do you see some DeAndre Hopkins type of skill in him? I'm not putting him in DeAndre Hopkins category. I'm just saying some of the length and the ability to go up and contort the body and make catch balls that are – just in places that most guys wouldn't even get to.
Yeah, the first thing I think about Hop is the best hands in the game. So yeah. I'm not sure if CeeDee has that. He's actually had a little bit of a drop issue before. If this may sound, and I don't mean to be disrespectful to Hopkins with this, I think that CeeDee has the potential to be a bigger playmaker than Hopkins. If that may, like, I think he can be more explosive than Hopkins. I don't know if he could be an all-around better receiver. I just think the potential of speed and the things that he could do, he could be more explosive, more of an explosive athlete than Hopkins is. But I could see a little bit of it, but when I think of Hop, I think of hands, and I don't think CeeDee Lamb has those hands.
Yeah, I'm thinking more of the length and the bigger, the physical ability. Like when he's covered, he's not. You know, your back shoulder, I mean, I just don't know how you miss a back shoulder on Hop. I mean, that is a low percentage throw, and that dude finds a way to catch it at a high percentage, at a high clip. You know what I mean? So, I see a lot of kind of raw playmaker instead of polished technician.
I was really impressed, Clint, because he got to play with Baker, and then he got to play with Kyler Murray. Okay, you got to play with two first number one picks. Then we knew what Jalen was coming in to the and Jalen improved in a major way in terms of throwing the football, we've discussed. But I thought, okay, he's going to come back. His numbers were better.
Yeah.
Were better when he was with Jalen Hurts, who is, you can argue, more of a runner. Not even argue, he's more of a runner, and they ran the ball a lot more and probably didn't have all of the same patterns and routes that they did with Kyler, and I'm sure Lincoln changed things up than he did with Kyler and Baker. So that was even more impressive that sometimes he was the only option out there besides Jerry Jeudy, who played with Ruggs and Smith and all these other options, and Tua, better quarterback play. That's why I'm a little bit impressed, more impressed with CeeDee Lamb. I put him a little bit above Jeudy, who I think is the other guy.
Hey, Jerry Judy's my guy. Jerry Jeudy's the one that when I watch him play, I go, man, he is polished. He understands the value of running precise routes and creating separation. He has the ability to go get it. He's a bigger body. I love what Jerry Jeudy brings. I'm convinced that Jerry Judy's going to be very, very good at the next level.
What's your comp on him? You said a little D-hop. With him,
man.
CeeDee Lamb, what's your comp?
You know, golly, man, I don't have my head wrapped around it right now, to be completely honest with you. I really liken him to, just off the top, the Ridley kid at Atlanta.
Mm. See, I was gonna say if Sammy Watkins was ever right.
You've watched a lot more Sammy than I have, but I can see that. I can see that.
My thing with him is I watched him in a couple of big games have drops in big moments.
Yeah.
There's a game against Auburn where he dropped a touchdown pass that was kind of a big moment. There's a little bit of the LSU. He had a couple of drops. That's it. But he's the best route runner in the draft by far.
Well, that translates, show. You know what I mean? Like when you've got a guy that is extremely talented, obviously, but technically he understands – how to work in a way that he runs great routes and can create separation on top of that ability. And I'm not saying any of these other guys don't have that. To be completely honest with you, I'm not convinced Jordan Jefferson has it. He's awfully impressive. He's a monster, there's no doubt. But that next – typically when – there's just, it's just – we look at Hopkins and we look at Dez Bryant and we look at some of these guys that are just physical – monsters at the receiver position, just the ability to be physical and still catch the ball and go make the difficult catches. And we think, oh, well, anybody with that kind of body that can run a little bit and that kind of hand can do it at the pro level, man, that's rare, man. You know, I mean, that is rare. But if anybody can get close, it's the CeeDee Lambs, it's the Jordan Jeffersons of the bunch. I just think Jerry Jeudy is that technician, man.
It feels like to me you would go up and go get Jerry Jeudy if you were a team that felt like you were a receiver. Look at like the Raiders. Like the Raiders feel like if they had a big receiver, a better receiver, like you'd go up to go get him.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
You wouldn't go, but you wouldn't do that for Lamb or any others. You'd feel like Jeudy, you'd go up to go get.
Yes. I mean, I would be more convinced of it. You know what I mean? If I'm sitting down there and I go sit down with CeeDee Lamb in a meeting and he blows my top off with the knowledge of the game and all the intangibles and all that, then, yeah, you move. These are all guys that are talented enough that you could potentially move up to go get. But I'm convinced that Jerry Judy's a guy that's going to have success at the NFL level in a big way.
All right, coming up, Clint is our resident quarterback right here at Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. And yesterday he said that he thinks P.J. Walker would have a better chance at being a quarterback, a starter in the league over Jalen Hurts. He watched Jalen Hurts in the combine yesterday. I want to see and want to hear if Clint has any different thought after watching Hurts in the combine. We'll get into that next. Show and Stern, Stern and Show, whatever it is. Clint Sterner in the building on a beautiful Friday. Ron, the show, Hughley in here, filling in for today. And I got to say this, so the short time that I've known you, Clint, I've listened to you a lot while I haven't been on the air with you. The one thing that I really love and respect is that you are not one of these guys that, all right, I said this, and I don't give a rip what kind of evidence I get. I'm just going to hang on this fence. Just because I said it once, I'm just going to stay there. If you see new evidence, I've urged you, you see new evidence, you will say, all right, time to move off that because I've seen something else.
Yeah, yeah.
And I respect people for that. I hate people who just stay on I got to stay on this because I said it.
I ain't going down with the ship, Chief.
So yesterday you said, yesterday you said, well, yeah, man, I look at P.J. Walker. I see him, and it caught me off guard. I was stumbled a bit. I didn't know how to respond. When you said you felt like P.J. Walker was a better fit to be a starter in the NFL than Jalen Hurts, who was a Heisman finalist, the SEC Offensive Player of the Year, one of the best players in college football last year and improved his throwing talents. He went and threw with the combine yesterday. My son was all over Jalen Hurts. He's one of my son's favorite players. He was all over him. Did anything you saw yesterday change your theory on that?
Yeah, it changed my theory. I still believe I'm still more convinced that P.J. Walker could compete for a starting job in the NFL right now. I'm not backing off of that one versus the other.
I hear you. I mean, you still think at a better rate than Hurts?
Oh yeah, yeah. You're looking at, if you evaluate both of them right now, I'm where they are right this second. I'm convinced that P.J. Walker, can do what it takes at an elite level. And I say elite, I mean at an NFL level, like processing and working the pocket and making all the throws consistently. It's a different arm talent that P.J. Walker has. And I mean that that's not disrespecting Jalen Hurts' arm talent. That is 100%. Like I believe that P.J. Walker's arm talent, the ability to throw with different arm from different arm slots and to be able to throw off platform, it's really, really, really good. It's not Pat Mahomes. I mean, let's be honest about it, be real about it, but it's very impressive. And it's what today's football is all about. It's what they're looking for, in quarterbacks in 2020 is the ability to do those things. And I'm not convinced that Jalen Hurts is that, but I'll tell you what, I'm convinced, I'm more convinced, I'm not 100% convinced, but I am more convinced today, a lot more convinced today than I was yesterday that Jalen Hurts is a guy that one day might compete for a starting job in this league.
You didn't feel that way before?
I did not. I'd only seen him, when you see him throw, I've always known that the intangible was there and was going to give him a chance. All of the physical attributes outside of literally the guy has everything other than, from me, I don't have the confidence that Jay can get from the pocket, make all the throws that are necessary consistently to play in the NFL. Now that's to start in the NFL, right? Now that's taken. I'm still not convinced that Lamar Jackson has the ability to make all those throws consistently, but he's in a system that highlights his other strengths, and so he's going to do well. Obviously, he's going to do well in the league. I'm not convinced that there's several starters across the league that I'm not convinced can consistently do it. So I just saw Jalen Hurts. I saw a different Jalen Hurts last night.
What was it in particular you saw yesterday that brought that change?
It was another outing that most guys shrink in that moment that don't have supreme confidence in their whip, in their arm, in their ability to pass the football, their ability to take drops and marry their feet to the throw, to the route. Guys that, like Jalen hasn't always done that naturally. Like if the progress.
You've worked with him, right? You've worked with him.
Yeah, I've worked with him a couple of times. Not enough to, and in no way, shape, or form am I taking any. I know him personally. I know his father. He's right here in Channel View. I've worked with him. I've thrown with him a couple of times. And in no way, shape, or form am I taking any credit for. I haven't worked with him enough for anything to take to him. I know Dan Enos, he stayed at Alabama when he could have transferred. And he worked with Dan Enos for a year when Tua was the starter. He could have left. He stayed and worked with Dan Enos, who, in my opinion, in terms of the things that I'm talking about needing to be second nature, he worked with Dan Enos behind the scenes as the backup for a year. I know since, I don't know, at least 2 or 3 months, he's worked with Deshaun Watson's quarterback coach, Quincy Avery, in Atlanta. They may be doing it here. I don't know if they're doing it here in Atlanta. I know Quincy spends a lot of time here. But it is, and I don't know what they've done differently, but it is noticeable. I mean, it is a noticeable improvement in his confidence in his stroke, his natural movement in his feet, and the things that have to be next level for you to have success. And on the biggest stage that you can highlight those things, show was last night, and he did it in a big, big-time way. And the ball jumped out of his hand consistently because of the techniques and the mechanics and the natural fluid motion that he's created. And it boils down to this. What I saw last night, he was very confident, show. It boils down to, do you believe that, or can, right, can Jalen Hurts do those things while he's processing a defense?
That's what I was going to say.
That's the kicker.
Like a lot of people take the combine performances with, what is he going to do when he's on the field in pads? Because the combine, you know what routes are going to be run. They've been just practicing that. That's what they have been going over to prepare for it. Maybe you saw enough. I'm talking about enough to just change your thought of, okay, maybe this could be someone who could compete in the next three years for a starting job.
I felt like when we talked about it yesterday, you said, can he be a starter in the league? And I said no. And given that what I saw last night confirmed the change that's taken place in the last year and a half with Jalen Hurts. If a guy can make that kind of progress with the things that I'm talking about, then I'm not going to doubt that he can continue to make progress. But we can't ignore the elephant in the room, and that's the fact that things have been difficult for Jalen Hurts when he has to process, when he has to anticipate throws, when he has to dissect the defense from the pocket. And until you do that in action with defenders moving and a rush coming towards you, I'm going to be hesitant to say that you can be a starter in the league. Look, I started games in the NFL. I was never a starter in the NFL. You see what I'm saying? Like, I think Jalen Hurts can go – he'll get a shot in the NFL because of the total package. I believe that he one day will have a really good chance at starting games in the NFL. I still don't believe that he will ever be tabbed as here's the reins, we're giving the organization to you, and you're the guy. I'm still not convinced that he's that caliber of a quarterback. But what I saw yesterday was impressive, and it was impressive in its own right, but it was really impressive when having seen him throw a year and a half ago.
He's got all of the intangible stuff that you love. It's just more about this other stuff. I just got a message. Someone said, are you going to tell us about why you didn't have sex last night? And I'll run this in.
Wait, what?
Somebody just gave you a message of why I was afraid to have sex last night.
Was it your wife? This,
yeah, it was with my wife. B-Mac, I feel like B-Mac will be on my side here. Listen, folks, I won't lie to you.
Better rethink that one.
My wife is... Oh, maybe not. Maybe I'm on my own. I've been alone on a lot of stuff here. My wife is due to have our third child in 10 days, 9 days. We are up on it. And, man, I'm nervous and I can't concentrate because I feel like I'm going to hurt the baby.
Yeah, you're out, man.
I can't concentrate, and I'm like, oh,
hey, man.
No, man, all this shaking and all this. I can't do it.
Yeah.
I know I'm not alone on this. I know there are some guys who just don't feel comfortable or can concentrate. Maybe. I said some guys on the text line, or private text, that just feel like, all right, man, we've reached a certain point in how far along you are, and I can't be just shaking my son in there.
What is wrong with you, man? You can't just relax for a few more weeks.
I'm trying, man. I just I can't be gentle in it. And when I know I can't be gentle in it, and
this
I'm going,
this guy
I'm
here,
I feel like I'm gonna shake him or something. I can't.
I mean, if you can't be gentle given your circumstances, then you just a sorry, no good, nasty sucker, boy.
I just saying, man. Well, most fellas know once you arrive in that place. Your old habits come, and my habits, and I just stop. Let's stop.
That's yeah, yeah, stop. You ought to get the break real quick.
Coming up, the general, who I'm sure has dealt with this. Coming up, the general, he has been in Indy all week covering the combine. We'll get the latest on what he saw in Indianapolis. Coming up next. All right, welcome back in. The Stern and Show, Ron the Show, Hughley filling in again today. And we are blessed to be joined. I can't wait. And I know he's probably still reeling, recovering from his Baylor Bears losing to my Kansas Jayhawks, the number one team in the country, the new number one on the road at the Ferrell Center, beating his Baylor Bears. I know he's still recovering, but I'm sure he's enjoyed himself in Indy. We've got the general John McClain, brought to us by Horn Solutions. Welcome in, John. How's it going?
Ron and Glenn, it's going great. Yes, I'm still recovering from that game. It's the largest crowd in Baylor history, and Kansas won by 3. It's a great performance by the Jayhawks. Baylor, I think they beat Kansas State afterward. Now they play TCU, so there's a good chance they're going to meet again in the tournament.
Yeah, yeah, it is. I really enjoyed it. I know you didn't enjoy it as much
as I
did. I
bet you did.
Boy, you didn't waste no time, did you?
Oh, Show? I told you. I told you I was going to get him.
Hey, General, that wasn't on the damn rundown. I apologize about that, man. Hey, look, since you've been out there, since we talked to you last, Bill O'Brien he announced kind of flippantly and just kind of eased on through it that Tim Kelly was going to be the quarterback coach and the offensive coordinator and call plays. Were you surprised in the way that Bill O'Brien announced it a couple of days ago?
Well, he didn't announce it. Announce is when you put out a release and tell people what you're doing. With 3 of us had a private session with him before he went in to meet with the mass media for his regular news conference. And Amy Pausick, his VP of communications, said, "Okay, guys, he's got to get in there. We got time for 2 more questions." And Sarah Barshop of ESPN, Aaron Reese of The Athletic, one of them asked a question. And I'm thinking, you know, I throw it out there. I said, "Bill, by the way, you giving any more thought to having Tim Kelly call plays?" And he hesitated a minute. He said, "Timmy's going to call plays." And I almost swallowed my cell phone, which also is my tape recorder. And I had to turn it upside down, keep recording while I tweeted that Tim Kelly was going to call plays, because as you guys know, that was a bombshell. And he did the same thing he did with George Godsey. George Godsey was quarterback's coach in 14. He promoted him to offensive coordinator, let him call plays. Godsey was not good at it. Of course, he didn't have Deshaun Watson either. And so Bill took it back over, and then Godsey was fired after the 2016 season. But Kelly's been with him. This will be his 9th year. Tim's only 33 years old, and he was with him as a GA 2 years at Penn State. So he's going to be a first-time play caller. Anthony Weaver is going to be a first-time play caller, but they've got 2 veterans as resources in O'Brien and Romeo Crennel. And so for all those people who wanted O'Brien to give it up, no matter who it was to, it's a great opportunity for Tim Kelly, who wants to be a head coach. And if you're calling plays and you do well, as you guys know, that enhances your chances. And having Deshaun Watson certainly is an advantage.
Yeah, we talked about it yesterday, that if you're going to be a first-time play caller, boy, you sure do want to do it for the Texans, because they got some talent on this offense, and obviously it starts with Deshaun Watson. John, I can't let you just slide by that 3-person private session you had with the head coach of the Texans. Now, who's all in that private session, and how do I get in it?
Well, you got to cover the combine, number one. There was the 3 I mentioned, Sarah Barshop, Aaron Reese, and I. We were covering it, and they always do that. Usually every coach or GM, after they're on their podium and they answer questions from the masses, they go off to the side to talk to their local people, because a lot of them, like O'Brien, hadn't talked since right after the loss to, I won't say who it is. And so this was the first time he talked, and instead of doing it afterward, he did it before. And he talked, you know, they still haven't announced anything, but O'Brien being the GM and Jack Easter being executive vice president of football ops. So we asked him everything we could locally, because I didn't want to waste the media's time from around the country. They wanted to ask, you know, things about the CBA and the 17th game and all the Watson and, you know, Hopkins and Watt and all the stars. They didn't want to be concerned with the minutia of the coaching staff. And but it was a very productive session, and I'm guessing the next time Bill talks will be right. We'll be at free at the league meetings. We get those coaches for an hour. You want to watch coaches squirm? They never have to sit that long with the media, and they have to sit there for an hour while waves of reporters come over and usually ask them a lot of the same things. So we'll get Bill then, and the next time I guess he'll talk will be right before the draft.
This is John McClain, brought to us by Horn Solutions, joining us. That's John McClain, by the way. That team was the Kansas City Chiefs, and it was 51-31.
Yeah, I forgot
that game. If you just
what was that score
you.
Again?
I think it's 51-31.
I forgot 50, that too.
52-7 run there. The Chiefs hit. It's crazy because you are so keyed in as anybody. Why were? Because you said you almost swallowed your cell phone. Why were you so shocked by the decision that he was going to turn over play calling?
Because he'd only done it once, and he hadn't done it in the last 5 years. And I know how much he likes coaching Watson. And I know how much Watson likes him. And while everybody wanted O'Brien dumped as a play caller, if Will Fuller stayed healthy all year, they would have been the seventh highest scoring team in the league. But the problem is, when he went out, they ran the ball a lot more. And I wrote about this, I think, Sunday. If they could somehow keep Fuller healthy for every game, there's a really good chance they could be one of the top scoring teams in the league, tops in offense. But I think we know that's not going to happen. And that's why they've got to be very tempted in a great class for receivers that's deep to take a receiver in the first, second or third round, even though they need corners first and foremost, and it's not as deep or as talented as receiver, and even though they need pass rushers, considering Kenny Stills and Will Fuller in the last year of their contracts, I think that they will take a receiver somewhere. They have 2 fourth-round picks, 2 3s and 2 4s. I'm confident one of those picks will be a receiver, and wherever you get him, in any other year, he would have been taken around higher. So if they use a 4, they're getting a guy who had been a 3. If they use a 3, they're getting a guy who had been a 2. And if you look at the success last year of all those receivers taken in second and third round, you don't have to take one in the first.
John, what do you that's the same thing. Like I think they're going to be in a predicament with that second round pick. I think there's going to be some names on the board that are awfully sexy that, as you just mentioned, could possibly have been late first round, early second round picks that the Texans are going to have a shot at. And their needs, their desperate needs, are going to be at other positions. Is that a problem you welcome? I mean, because I look at it and I go, I don't know if I'm mad at that or if it's a good thing. But is that something that you would look at as a good thing, or the Texans may have to pass on a really good player to go need there?
Clint, I think that unless it's a quarterback, they're not going to take a quarterback no matter where they have him rated. But say they did take a receiver. That's easy to justify based on the things I just talked about. And, of course, a corner, a pass rusher. I don't see them drafting an offensive lineman or a tight end. You know, what if there is a running back? What if they re-sign Carlos Hyde, which I expect them to do, to be paired with Duke Johnson again, and they ran the ball, those two, they had a good running game. They were top 10, 8th, I think. But then what if in the second round there's a really good running back they have rated as a first-round pick, despite that not being a need? I'd be surprised if they did it, but that's going to happen too, because corners and running backs, those positions are for the bottom of the first round and second and third. And then receivers, of course, you can go fourth or fifth round this year. There's so many good ones. And, man, did they put on a show yesterday running. And it's kind of ridiculous for us. And I watched it when I got back to my room last night to sit there and watch guys run in their shorts and their T-shirts and catch the ball with nobody covering them and act like it's a big deal. If they don't do it, something's wrong with them. And quarterbacks, oh, man, look at him get the ball out. Look at that accuracy. Look at that release. Well, shouldn't it be, Clint? Wouldn't you like to sit up there all the time and throw the ball in your shorts and T-shirt and no helmet so your hair looks so good and you're not throwing against anything but hair?
You're right. Hey, General, I'd have tore that damn combine up. I don't know that I'd have won many games, but I'd have tore that damn combine up if they'd have invited me now.
It's some of these guys, they got the greatest hair. We were talking about the quarterbacks and Justin Herbert. He's got hair, but then he had to wear it wasn't a man bun. He had not a braid. It was a hair band to keep his hair back while he threw. And at some point, people would have made fun of him. Now with so many of them having such good hair, it's not surprising.
Are you jealous of this, John?
I was jealous a long time ago, Ron, not anymore. It's like they say, you only control what you can control, and I lost control of my hair decades ago.
John McClain is with us, brought to us by Horn Solutions. So you were watching the receivers, not the top of the draft. I think everybody sees Jerry Jeudy, the Ruggs kid, the guys from Alabama, CeeDee Lamb. What receivers did you see that the Texans could have an opportunity to draft that were impressive to you?
Ron, great minds think alike. I'm looking at my list right here at the guys the scouts I've talked to and coaches. You know, obviously they look at the 40 times. And the two top receivers, CeeDee Lamb, he ran 4.50. Jerry Jeudy from Alabama, they'll be 1 and 2, depending on your taste. Jeudy ran a 4.45. And, of course, Henry Ruggs III, who was supposed to threaten John Ross's record of 4.22, didn't come close, running only a 4.27. But those guys are going to be the first three. But the guys who could be at the bottom of the first round, second round, third round, who did really well, Baylor's Denzel Mims, who's 6'3". He ran a 4.38, caught everything. They loved his route running, and the guy's a blocking fiend. Texas' Devin Duvernay ran a 4.39. He was tremendous this year in the slot. Southern Mississippi receiver Quez Watkins ran a 4.35. Tulane's Darnell Mooney ran a 4.38. And Memphis' Antonio Gibson ran a 4.39. And not just that, but the guys caught the ball. If you don't catch the ball when you're not being covered, then your stock's going to go down. Somebody brought up one time, and this makes so much sense, why do they let the players, when they're running 40, get out of track stance? They don't get out of track stance in games. Why don't they make them stand up like they do coming off the line of scrimmage? Why don't they let them wear a uniform and their football shoes and then see what they can do? Because this is, as they call it, the underwear Olympics. But if you don't catch the ball out here, then you must have pitchfork hands. We made fun of a writer from Atlanta today, D. Orlando Ledbetter, because he knocked over a drink at lunch, and we started saying he had about the fifth worst hands in the combine because we saw so many other receivers dropping the ball against air.
John, if it don't come natural by the time you get to the combine, whether you're talking about taking a drop, stroking the ball, or catching the ball, then you just ain't got much of a chance. You better be a hell of a special teams guy. Hey,
Clint, let me point out something right quick. And we all salivate over the 40 times, and that's true. Speed kills, and I admit I love watching the speed. I saw a list of the fastest players at the combine back to 2006. And only one, Titans running back Chris Johnson, played well in the NFL. The fastest and the strongest are usually not productive players. But I went back to point out today in one of my stories on Texas Sports Nation, here are some 40 times of receivers who haven't been too shabby. DeAndre Hopkins, 4.57. Michael Thomas, 4.57. Mike Evans, 4.53. Larry Fitzgerald, 4.48. Now, Tyreek Hill ran a 4.29. He wasn't at the combine, but that is pro day. But you don't have to have that super speed to be a great receiver. Mm. And you were all fascinated. There's a receiver from Notre Dame. His name is Chase Claypool, mm-hmm. and he looks like a tight end. I think, let me see how big he is. Claypool is 6'4 and a quarter, 248, ran a 4.42. And then the fastest tight end was, I can't pronounce his last name, from Missouri, Albert O. Wigabunum. He was 6'5.
Just call him Albert O. Just call him Albert O.
Albert O, that's good. He was, now, you know what, Ron, you ought to know that kid's pronunciation.
Yeah, Albert O. That's what I've always called him.
I bet if. I bet if he played for the Chiefs or the Jayhawks, you'd know how to pronounce it. He's 6'5 and a half, 258, and he ran a 4.49. And Cole McDonald from Hawaii was the fastest quarterback at 4.58.
Well, look, Cole McDonald's going to change positions because that old stroke he had ain't gonna work in the.
Just took out this
guy. I'm just telling you, it ain't gonna work in the NFL. I mean, I don't know what some of these cats have been working on. John, I want to go back to those receivers that we were talking about earlier and get a little bit more specific. You mentioned some guys earlier. I love Denzel Mims, by the way, out of Baylor. But we go through those guys, and it's like Duvernay out of Texas.
Duvernay, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's a legit slot guy that's going to be – he's going to be in the mold of the Tyreek Hill, the Mecole Hardman, that role of a player, slot guy. And then the Denzel Mims is obviously an outside guy that can take the top off, that can do some things in the red zone. If you had to narrow down what you thought the Texans were really interested in a receiver, could you do that, or is it either or?
Well, right now, you think there's slot receivers, DeAndre Carter and Kiki QT after Kenny Stills. Now, Hopkins can play inside. Fuller can play inside, but usually they prefer outside. I don't think they would target either one, considering Fuller and Stills' contracts are up next year. I think whenever they take a receiver, they're going to take the best one they can get. The guy that I thought, and a lot of people thought, had the best day yesterday, last night, because they're on in prime time now, was Justin Jefferson of LSU. That kid was tremendous. He ran in a 4.4s, caught everything. He just exploded in and out of his routes. If the throws were off target, he caught them. And it's so funny. They have all the tape, practice and game day tape from every college game. But if a guy does great here with nobody covering him, his stock goes up. I've had Jefferson going in the first round of all my mock drafts. And there's no doubt to me right now, that guy, I would say he's the third or fourth best receiver behind Lamb and Judy.
Real quick, John, before we get you out of here, I'm curious. Now we're looking at, and I thought that was a really good question Clint brought up, of what style of receiver they're looking at. Now with Tim Kelly having a bigger role in terms of he's calling the offense, running a lot of game plans, do you think he has increased an increased voice on what type of receiver they draft or what type of offensive players they draft, or will it still be as it has been before?
I think that Kelly, he's been with O'Brien so long, and he's opinionated, and he's not afraid to give O'Brien his opinion. I think whatever he thinks they need, he's going to tell them. You know, they've got their pro and their college staffs working under the head coach and GM, and I think that's something we're going to have to see over time. By the way, Ron, I didn't bring up Baylor and Kansas football, and I'm trying to find a Kansas player here, and I've been looking over every sheet. Do they still play football at Kansas?
Hey, slow down. Les Miles is getting this thing turned around now. And there was no reason for you to do that. There was no reason
D-Mac.
Because you, Udoka Azubuike abused you all last week. It is completely unfair. Hey. By the way, that Mims kid at Baylor, I am blown away by his 40 time. I don't see that 40 time.
No. I ain't letting
you. Can't just skim past that.
Yeah, I can't let you switch gears like that right before we go.
That is the first
drive-by that I've heard the general make since I've been part of Sports Radio 16.
Yeah, that was Sports Radio 16 history.
That was good.
That's all right. No, we'll be all right. Hey, we got corners. Yeah, we do. Chris Harris, he's one of the best corners in the league right now that the Texans would love to have. Huh? He went to KU.
Me and Gino ain't walking through that door, boss.
I'm down to my eighth page. I'm still looking here. Maybe I'll call you guys back Monday and I'll find somebody.
John McClain, that it just took me right out. Yes, thanks, John.
Thank you. Have a great weekend. Take care, Ron.
All right. Coming up, I thought we were going to 5 o'clock fire, but we already had it right here, 4:53. I tried to slide over to Mims.
I ain't letting you do that.
Sniff that right out.
No.
All right, 5 o'clock fire coming up next. Giannis, the Greek freak, he basically treated James Harden like he was Mitch Trubisky, and James Harden is done with it. He is having none of that. That's coming up next.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.